Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you could trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes, better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
Back to the Crab Feast, y'all.
Another Tuesday.
Can't be another Tuesday.
Another Crab Feast. That ass.
Can't be another Tuesday.
I felt that at the end. I felt like there was just a touch off, and I just went a little bit in there. I touched it.
I went for that second.
I felt it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like a 2+ gear.
Okay.
Good to see you, Jay Larson.
Good to be here with you, Sickle Cell. Feast Nation, great to be here with you as well. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy across all social media. If you wish to reach out or hear about any shows, no shows to promote from me. There's a couple in-town dates, but I'll just tweet them out the day before, day of. Except for Sickle Cell and I will be at the Nerd Melt Theater on Saturday, the 3rd of October, telling a story together. Russ said to me the other day, texted me, he's like, yo, what story are we telling? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, don't you think we should rehearse that? I'm like, we'll figure it out, bro.
Did I say rehearse?
Yeah, you said, don't you think, what did you say?
I don't know. I'm not putting it past me, but I feel like rehearse is overdoing it, even if that is coming from me.
The cell of Sickle.
Ryan Sickler on Twitter. And are you done?
Yes, I am, sir.
All right, thank you. Ryan Sickler on Twitter and Instagram. Ryan Sickler Official on Facebook. RyanSickler.com for my any dates and info. TheCrabFeast.com for all your Crab Feast info. I wanted to tell you, give you a heads up now. We will be supporting breast cancer awareness again next month. We will be fully stocked on all merchandise. And as we did last year, this year again, a percentage of all merchandise, because we have sold out of the Tuesday breast cancer shirts, a percentage of all merchandise will be donated to breast cancer awareness. So help us promote breast cancer awareness next month.
What about koozies?
Anything.
Shirts?
All merch.
Pencils too?
Mugs.
Pencils too?
Yeah, pencils, man.
Perfect.
Pencils. And thank you for all the ways you all support the podcast. The Amazon link is a huge help. The new premium episodes, you guys are lighting that up right now. That's live from the 2015 Bridgetown Comedy Festival with Dana Gould and Ian Carmel. It's a great episode, as are all of them, and they are available on iTunes and for Androids and non-iTunes users on Gumroad, and they're only $1.99.
$2.
Love seeing you all out there communicating on the Facebook fan page.
Communicating, y'all.
I love seeing the iTunes 5-star reviews. You guys are the fucking best. Follow All Things Comedy on social media.
Let me ask you something, guys. Are you the guy or girl in your group that's fresher than everybody else? This week, Touch of Modern's here to tell you that there's one trendsetter in every group. Someone's got the latest clothing, the coolest gears, the newest products. Is it you? I don't know. Are you ready to upgrade your style without upping the price? TouchOfModern.com has all the latest trends at the best prices. Why and how, you ask? Well, I'll answer you. Touch of Modern connects directly with top designers. They have timeless and unique products. Each item is hand-selected to grab your attention, which in turn grabs other people's attention, and all at unbeatable prices. Ryan and I have said it before. We love the site. We think it's awesome. That's why we're glad to have them on as a sponsor.
I look at it daily.
Always. It is. It's like another social media thing you look at, because they always have cool things. And even if you're not buying it, it just ups your mind of like, oh, look at this. Let me think about that. But don't think too long, because they're gone within a day. It's not
only
like
that. Do you know how many times I've said out loud looking at stuff like, I don't even know they made this.
Yeah.
You're like, who came up with this?
And you're a trendsetter and on your own right.
You know that.
You know that, player. Jaw-dropping tech gadgets and gear, sleek iPhone case and accessories, eye-catching new and vintage watches. I mean, name it, it's on there, guys. With sales literally launching every day, touchofmodern.com is the one website to discover and elevate your lifestyle in a single click. So right now, our listeners can get immediate access when they sign up at touchofmodern.com. That's touchofmodern.com. Do it today, because tomorrow, it's going to be different. That's how life rolls in the fast lane.
And speaking of the fast lane.
This guy, he runs the fast lane. He is the fast lane. He's also the slow lane. And he's here today to take it easy, easy, easy. Please welcome for the first time to the Crab Feast, Mr. Randy Lickey. Welcome to the Crab Feast.
Welcome to the Crab Feast, Randy.
Oh, wow. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for being here, Randy.
Wow. That's a big applause.
You seem genuinely pleased.
I was like, a lot of people were clapping right now. It feels
good. Excited to have you here, man. Before we get, rolling, why don't you let everyone know everything you want them to know about Randy Lipke, where they can find you, see you, all that stuff.
Oh, goodness. Like my Twitter account?
All of it.
Okay.
All of it, boy.
I have a Twitter account. It's my name, Randy Lipke. L-I-E-D-T-K-E.
The D.
That's how you spell it. And, you know, I have a website, but it's not very important. I have a podcast. It's sure. also on All Things Comedy.
Of course.
It's called The Bone Zone.
The Bone Zone.
And Brendan Walsh and I, we host that. I've been doing it for a while. Check it out. It's a fun one.
It is a fun one.
And, I mean, that's, I mean, should I, am I plugging things? Is that at the end? Or
yeah, whatever you want to plug.
I have a half hour on Comedy Central coming out.
Say, yes.
October 10th is when it's going to air.
Perfect.
And that, on that same day, my album will be released.
Oh, nice.
In association with my half hour.
Look at that, huh?
And,
there you go.
The album's called I'm on a Roll. And the cover is me laying on an open face hoagie sandwich. and we're just doing the artwork for that right now, so it's still in the works, but October 10th you can access all of that.
Nice, man.
Fantastic.
You know, my uncle had a business called On a Roll.
Oh, really?
And that's what he did, man. He made sandwiches.
Which is really?
Like a MTO sandwich shop?
No, it wasn't a sandwich shop. He was basically he made a commissary, so he would supply like food trucks, and you know when you go into like a Ralph's and you're like, oh, let me grab this pre-made sandwich. That was him. You know what his big selling point was?
What?
That meat never left a freezer. Like when they made those sandwiches, they were in a walk-in making them inside there, so they were always
and then transported
right into a freezer truck, man.
So it's like the opposite of never frozen. It's the always frozen.
No, it's a freezer. It's not frozen. It's a walk-in refrigerator.
Give me some frozen turkey.
Oh, it's not frozen. It's a refrigerator.
Right. It's just refrigerated. But it's never like, you know, everywhere
it's never
else
hot,
you're
cold,
making
hot, cold, and fucking it all up. Yeah.
Let me tell you something about this guy, by the way. He started a business he had a deli like corner shop.
This is who again now?
It's my uncle.
Okay.
Not an uncle, you know, like the aunt and uncle that aren't related, but you call them aunt, you grew up with them and everything.
Well, yeah, I think we all know that.
Yeah. This guy was the best. They're still the best, the couple. First one went under, started a second one, went under, started
all sandwich stuff.
Yeah. Started another business like this, like the commissary, went under, finally got it right. He sold that company.
Sold to Google.
Sold it a while ago for big dollars.
Did he?
Big dollars. I'm talking 1, 2, 3, 6, 8 figure.
Good for him, man.
Yeah, dude.
Fucking sandwiches pay it all.
And still the most down-to-earth level dude you'll ever meet in your life.
That's great.
Always frozen.
Always frozen.
You know what I'm saying? Never frozen, bro. You son of a bitch.
Do you need a water?
Sure,
Could we get Randy a water?
Can I also just check out an appetizer menu? I just...
I mean, we're talking about that stuff, so I wanted to talk to you. Well, you're from Oregon, originally.
Grew up in Oregon, yeah. I lived in a lot of different towns there, but mostly central Oregon.
Why did you move around?
My dad worked for Oregon State Forestry.
Oh, really? So what does that entail?
A lot of that around there.
Well, he grew up in L.A., and then he was like a Boy Scout, you know? And he liked the outdoors, and he liked camping. So he thought he wanted to be like a park ranger or something. So he went to forestry school in Arizona because he thought that meant like he didn't know what it meant. He thought it would be like a camping guy.
Yeah.
Like a ranger or something.
I got a master's in camping.
Yeah, I don't know. And so right out of college, he got a job in Oregon. That's where a lot of the trees are.
Mm-hmm.
And, a lot, yes.
And worked there ever since. He just retired recently. So he worked his way up the ladder working for the state, and we moved a lot.
Like taking care of the trees or?
In the end, it was mostly a management job. So like it was forest fires a lot of the times, mm-hmm. dealing with lumber companies.
Overseeing, yeah. Man, I'll never forget the first time I went to Oregon, and I'm driving, and it's like beautiful, and all of a sudden you just hit, and it's just field of cut down trees. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're like, whoa. And like it hits you. You know what I mean? I pulled over, I walked through it. It was weird.
Clear cut. Yeah. Well, and people say that that's terrible. And it's actually because like the other ways of cutting down trees is just like walking through and cutting down like every third or fourth tree, but you can't regrow them.
Yeah.
Because they're in the shade when they're saplings. So the clear cut is the only way to regrow a whole field at once.
I'll never forget, while I was up there, I saw a sign said John Litke clear cut 2003, man. I think that was his platform, wasn't it?
But he didn't work for a lumber company. His job was to, like, state forestry is private land and Forest Service is federal land. So his deal was, like, if a fire was on land that people owned, whether it be a lumber company or an actual person who just owns a house that happens to be on a lot of land. So, you know, they weren't like making money off of cutting down trees. They just had to deal with all the people.
Yeah.
And like a lot of times if there was like a flood or some other type of, you know, bad thing that happened in Oregon, they would hire my dad and other people to manage that situation, because his job was always like, oh shit, there's something bad happening. All right, you do this, you do this. You know, everyone go to this place. So it was all about managing people rather than trees.
Were you a Boy Scout?
I was for, like, my brother got Eagle Scout, which is, like, man. The best.
That's the top, isn't it?
Yeah. First of all, you get a letter from, I was a Boy Scout. I went to Star. My brother was Life. Eagle, you get a letter from the president, man. That's all I'm saying. Eagle Scout is badass.
How far were you as a Star from an Eagle?
It goes Star, Life, Eagle. But the difference,
oh, your brother did one level higher then.
Yeah, he did a level higher than I did.
Well, there's a lot in there. There's more than that. Yeah, it's like Scout is the first one. I don't remember all. But
Scout, Tenderfoot.
Second class, first class, then Tenderfoot.
Then Star.
And Tenderfoot sounds terrible.
And then...
Yeah, you're light on your feet.
And then like there's three more and then Eagle.
Star, Life, Eagle.
Or something. I mean, I
what were you, bro?
I got to second class.
You son of a bitch. Second. Get him out of here.
Here's why. And I don't feel like I
still need, got a yellow scarf, man.
I don't need to defend. I did like Cub Scouts.
And then Weeblos.
And we lived in a different town when my brother was like becoming an Eagle Scout. And my dad was the scoutmaster in mm-hmm. that town. And then we moved. My brother graduated high school.
That's what I want to ask. Well, how old are you? Like, if you start. Whatever. How old are you by the time you get to it? Are you a high school kid?
You might be in high school.
You have to be,
but
though,
you're not
right?
like a senior in high school.
No. Like, when I stopped doing Boy Scouts, I was a sophomore in high school.
Yeah, that seems about right.
But, like, I could have got... I knew a
There's
kid
There's no 10-year-old Eagle Scouts out there?
No, but...
There might be some legit kids,
I knew
though.
A kid that was, like, 12 or 13 that fast-tracked it.
I mean, one of the things... There's so much you have to do to get Eagle, but then like then you have to do your Eagle Scout project, which is like your like grad school thesis, you know what I mean? And you have to do like, I remember one kid, he dug an entire ditch in our town and filled it with rocks so that water could drain, like made a drainage system for this part of town that was like over flooding and stuff.
Didn't work. Killed four people.
Four people died, man. Would have been five, but he saved the kid, man.
Save one of them.
He got life-saving merit back.
My brother's was, we just had to like, we did some trail work. We rebuilt a couple like turnarounds on like a trail on a cliff or whatever, and it was like a lot of work
for a car or a
human
for ATVs, like for hiking. Yeah, so we had to like build a bunch of rocks into the side of a cliff and
stuff. You know when you're going hiking like around Temescal and you're like, man, this is risky, but there's like wood in there and someone built steps, and
those are Boy Scouts.
Those
sometimes
are some scouts out there, man.
That's tight, man.
But we did that. My dad was like the leader. And then my brother was out of it before we moved. So that he would have been a freshman in high school when he got his Eagle. And then we moved to a different town. And then I was plugged into like a different troop. And I didn't really I liked a few of the people. I didn't really like the leaders. I didn't like a lot of the people that were in it. I got into like a good, I don't remember what it was called. But within the troop, there was smaller groups. And I liked those guys. And my dad wasn't really like that involved because everyone else. So I just didn't like it as much.
Yeah, I hear
it. It wasn't as fun.
Right.
And so I just went on the trips and had fun. I didn't like, I wasn't striving to like earn badges and stuff. Yeah. I just went to the camps and had a lot of fun. And and they were like, yeah, that's fine. You know, my dad was an Eagle Scout. So it was kind of like this thing that we were doing.
You know, his dad's an Eagle. His dad's an Eagle Scout. Yeah. Two times.
But then, so like one
bald eagles,
one thing that I say
even higher, man,
to like defend myself from being like, yeah, I wasn't into it, was one of the guys that was in our troop by the time I was a sophomore, junior in high school, he went to jail for murder.
Whoa.
How old was he?
He was a
like junior. 15, 16,
freshman or Jesus sophomore. Christ. There's a thing that happened at my high school. Four It was four boys and two girls all murdered one of their moms.
Hold on.
What?
All right, hold on. Let's pump the brakes here. Hang on.
What are you, one of their moms? This guy had three moms. I got two moms. Man.
So, like, one of the kids.
All right, what high school did you go? You can obviously talk about
this.
Yeah, yeah.
I went to Redmond High School in Redmond, Oregon.
Okay.
And
you're, at the time this happened, you're a sophomore in high school?
I may have been a junior, and one of the kids was a senior.
Did you know any of them personally, or?
I mean, I knew the kid from Boy Scouts.
And his mom. She made cupcakes every week.
No,
Ben mother, for Christ's sake.
So it wasn't his mom. It was one of the other kids' moms.
Jesus.
And
wait, he killed another person's mom?
So, like, one of the guys who was the senior, I forget his name, but he was like, let's murder my mom.
Okay.
Whoa.
He's the ringleader against his own mom.
So, yeah. And his mother was really good friends with a lady that my mom worked with. So, like, for years, my mom heard these stories from her coworker about, like, oh, yeah, her friend's having a real hard time with her son. I think she goes to your high school or whatever. Because I grew up in a pretty small town, but our high school still had – it was still considered one of the bigger schools in the state because we had one high school in my town. So, like, I graduated with, like, 300 kids.
Okay.
It was, like, a normal-sized school.
That's a bigger – that's twice the size of my school.
Okay. Yeah, so we
100%
were like,
more murders than the one I went to. I can tell you that right now.
Jeez, yeah. So the story is, you know, this guy, like, whatever, he hated his mom, and his mom was a sweet, nice lady, but he was like a weirdo. And as they dug and found out more about it, like, he had all these like fake websites, these like fake death metal bands where he would write lyrics. He didn't play any instruments, but he would just write these weird murder lyrics. And he was
huge following, man.
Huge following, man.
And he would
started
like,
Twitter.
He would like get on chat rooms that he knew his mom was on. His mom was like a single mom, and he would like harass her as someone else. They found out later, so he was like he was a weirdo.
Yeah,
and so he had these friends. One of them used to be in that Boy Scout troop that I was in. One of them was kind of like a guy that we always were like, yeah, that guy's all methed out. He was like a weirdo, always in trouble. Maybe I think I played football with him in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
So we all knew who he was, but he was a kid that was always kicked out of school and just a crazy guy. And that may have been all of the boys. I think that was all the boys. And there was two girls.
This is so crazy, but to be two girls in this is crazy.
And they were freshmen. So I think it was like a sophomore, a junior, a senior, and then like two 15-year-old girls. And they were all like hanging out and like drinking and doing drugs or whatever. And they stopped going to school and they were kind of like considered runaways and they were living in hotels. And
where were they getting the coin?
I have no idea. But maybe they were stealing it.
This
guy was winning
like
Pine Box Derbies left and right, man. What are you talking about?
Staying in like Motel Sixes and stuff.
This is how drug Manson got started, man.
And it probably is.
And then they go. They had heard that it was legal to smoke weed in Canada. So, and like at this point, Vancouver did have areas.
This is what year are we talking about here?
So this is 2000, 2001.
Okay.
And so they said, why don't we go up to Canada because you can smoke weed there? And they were like so excited about that. And they said, well, let's go. Like the main guy was like, let's go to my house. My mom's at work and we'll, you know, take her car. We'll steal her car. Or what was it? No, they had her car. That's what it was. They had her car. Let's go there. Let's take as much as we can from the house, money, different things, stock up, eat some food, and then let's head to Canada. So they drive.
To smoke weed.
This is legally. How they were children. You know what I mean?
If they just would have waited 14 years, shit's legal in fucking Portland.
I know. They're sitting in jail being like, oh, shit.
You kidding me.
Jesus.
And so they get to the house. They like, you know, they trash the place. And then when it comes time to leave, the guy's like, I can't find the keys to the car. We've lost the keys. We can't get out of here. We're screwed. And they're like, well, what do we do? Your mom's going to come home. We've trashed the place. So he's like, well, I guess we have to kill her. And so later, what, you know, when it went to the court and everything, a lot of people were trying to prove this was a plan by this guy. He had the keys.
Okay.
He wanted to kill his mom, and this is how he got people to help him do it.
But the power of him to that's what's amazing to me. That dude could have he could have been president if he turned that shit to a positive way. He got four people to help him kill somebody.
Yeah.
And that's unbelievable.
Yeah. I mean, it gets crazier because they were like, well, how are we going to do this? So they had set up the house in all these different ways to kill her.
Where they didn't have to do it?
Well, no, where they were just like, well, what if
she gets out over here, we got this in the kitchen. What if it goes awry?
So they had like childish ass, like, you know, they had hair dryers plugged. They filled up the bathtub. They had all the electronics plugged in the bathroom. They put bleach in a syringe.
Oh, my God.
They had, they had all these wine bottles ready to, like, beat her up with. They had all these, like, things ready. And I guess, you know, they were beaten up with wine bottles until the one guy was like, this is the guy that was in my Boy Scout troop was like, all right, this is fucked up. So he shot her to put her out of her misery. And
they were beating her with wine bottles to death.
Yeah, yeah. And so then
I've heard this great wine up in Oregon, by the way. The Pinot Noir
it's
up there.
Pinot country.
It's deadly,
it's
man.
Pinot.
But so,
holy
so,
shit.
Since he was the one that pulled the trigger, you know, a lot of the focus was on this dude, but he was just like, he was a hunter.
It was a mercy
and
kill
he was
for
like,
him.
He was like, I've been hunting and I just needed to put her out of her misery. These people were destroying her, you know.
Oh my God.
So that, you know, and there was a lot of really good newspaper articles after the fact, kind of recounting this, like every week they would have like this really in-depth look at it because, you know, a couple of the parents of two of the kids would be like, no, he's the one that pulled the trigger. And the other people would be like, yeah, but he is the mastermind. He planned this. He took advantage of this kid. He didn't want to be there. He was tricked into thinking that he had no way out. This is his only way to not get in trouble, you know? So that I remember that day at school because it was like school was on lockdown.
Yeah.
They're like, some shit's going on. Everyone's, you know, locked the doors. No one's, because they thought they would show up at school that day. And then they got stopped at the border in Canada.
So they killed her and left and then got stopped.
Yeah. So they were like, we have to kill her because then we can take her car keys and take her car. That's what it was. So they had someone else's car. We lost the keys. Now we have to kill her, take her car. Mm. So they get stopped at the border and they're like, yeah, we knew you were coming up here.
We got great weed.
Wow.
Yeah.
And in jail.
Yeah, yeah. So my parents are kind of like...
All those kids?
So the girls got like 25 years, and the other three got life without parole.
Holy shit.
Damn.
Yep. And I was like...
Dude, that's... And they're kids.
God,
they're tried,
children.
Tried mm-hmm. as adults, I guess, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was... I remember maybe a year ago kind of... There was a documentary that came out. I forget what it was called. I think when I watched it, it was called something. You know, they changed the name eventually. But it was all about – I think it might have been called Kids Who Kill at that point. But now maybe it's called Life Without Parole or something like that.
Now that you brought it up, I remember this because it did call attention to how great the wine was up there.
It was a kind of a travel doc. Yeah,
but traveled. It was like sideways. Man.
These kids weren't in that documentary, but it made me remember. I was like, oh shit, remember when that happened? And then I was like, they're still in jail.
In jail.
Mm-hmm. Like the
15-year-old girls don't get out at 40 and still have an entire life to live, knowing that
don't forget
they
this.
Wasted it. Helping someone kill somebody.
You know anyone in high school
gruesome.
That was like totally into drugs and was totally fucked up and then they clean up and you see him after college and you're like, dude, what's up? And like, yeah, I just got my life together. These kids could turn out to be like amazingly super sweet, nice, that were just all lost and they're going to come out. I mean, except for the dude who planned it. You know what I mean?
I feel like one dude who planned it was fucked up. He needed, you know, he clearly needed some sort of help. Other kid was just, he was a maniac. Like our whole childhood was like, yeah, this don't even say anything to him. He's a weirdo.
Yeah, like
he'll punch you for no reason. Not that he was like could beat you up, but he has nothing to lose. And then the other guy was just like a sweetie, got wrapped up into some shit, and then made a fucking terrible decision.
Oh,
and that was the kid that was in my Boy Scout troop.
And he probably was as a hunter was probably looking at it like it was an animal.
Yeah. Well, and then like when they got arrested, the guy whose mom it was wearing the shell of the bullet on a necklace.
Wait,
whoa.
What?
So the guy, so clearly he wanted his mom dead. He was like, he was this whole weird thing that he was like loving.
And wow. Who was wearing the
kid whose mom it was, the mastermind.
Right.
Had the shell.
He was wearing the bullet.
Yeah, he made a necklace out of the shell of the bullet that killed his mom.
Jesus Christ.
So this day I was like, oh shit, they're still in jail. I looked them all up because you can go to
they're on Facebook.
Yeah.
They probably do have a prison Facebook.
They have you can go to the state penitentiary and website and you can look up an inmate by their name and it shows their most current mugshot. So it was so weird because I was like, yeah, last time I saw this guy, he was 15. And to watch him be like, oh, now he's a big, strong dude that's been in prison since I last thought about him.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Holy
so weird.
Shit.
Prison.
The only thing worse than this wasn't my high school, but a town like 25 minutes north of where I grew up, 1 year, 9 girls got together and made a pregnancy pact that they would all get pregnant. Do you remember hearing about that?
No. Wait, this is your school?
No. Gloucester High School in Gloucester, Massachusetts, like 25 miles north of where I grew up.
Get pregnant.
And they all did, 9 of them. They all got pregnant. Some by 45-year-old dudes, some by their boyfriends. Yeah, they just like, oh, this would be a great idea. Dumb fucking bitch.
Like they just wanted to have a kid?
I guess.
And then once two of them are doing it, like the other one's that sounds like a good idea.
It's kind of the opposite of your story.
Completely opposite.
They made life.
Story of life, yeah.
That is fucking nuts, man.
Don't you wish there was an adult Boy Scouts? You know what I mean? Where you just went camping and you had cool things. You could shoot archery for a while.
Yeah, like a week-long summer camp for...
Yeah, dude.
I don't know.
Summer camp for adults.
You could just go do that. Well, you could do that without the uniform.
When I was a kid,
Yeah, I know, but you can't do it with, tons of dudes. The great thing is this is the thing you forget, that people, when you don't play sports anymore, you're never going to play organized sports again, where there's a league and there's refs and there's coaches and it's like you're working towards something. The thing with Boy Scouts and the difference between just going camping with some buddies is with Boy Scouts, you'd be at camp and they'd be like, all right, we're doing this. You're working towards things.
Yeah. I just feel like as a kid, I was more open to meeting big groups of new people. And now, if someone was like, yeah, you're going to this camp, you only know a couple people, I'd be like, that sounds like a nightmare.
Oh, nightmare. God.
Just deal with all these fully
small
grown personalities.
Grown people
as a kid, you can blend in and make friends and be like,
you know how I tie the arrow? No, I don't give a fuck, Larry. I don't give a fuck
how you tie the arrow. Getting bullied by grown-ups.
Well, I want to move on from high school because you said you had an interesting first job out of high school. And I would love to hear about it.
my first job, I was still living in Central Oregon, and it was, a summer job before I went to my freshman year at college. And it was my friend's dad owned a gas station, which was not a truck stop, but it was like a gas station that had a mini mart in it.
Like a Sheetz or a Wawa.
I don't know what those are.
Better AMPMs.
Yeah. I mean, this was like a Shell station, but it had, it had a little market inside and it had a little deli food area. And they hired me there and I worked in the deli. And at that point, it was Chinese food.
First of all, how can you even call yourself a deli?
That's all just
how can you even call yourself a deli?
Well, because you guys are from...
Did you have a meat slicer?
Just Chinese food at the deli.
So I guess in the Northwest, we use the word deli differently, I think.
Okay. Clearly.
Because
the Chinese did.
In where you guys are from...
New Delhi.
There's all these little markets that sell boar's head sandwiches and shit like that.
Made MTO sandwiches.
Yeah, and then there's also real, Cat's Deli and that type of real big things with lots of bravado. To me...
Is that the definition?
I don't know. Yeah. In Central Oregon, a deli was a gas station. They said, we got a deli, and it was fried corn dogs and pizza pockets and burritos.
Got it.
And jalapeno poppers. It was a place that...
not deli menu.
No.
I love it, right?
But it was a hot case with just tons of fried food in it, chicken strips. And,
a 7-Eleven now.
Yeah, but on a grander scale.
But better,
scale.
Yeah.
So this place still had one of those. It had, whatever, all this frozen fried shit. And then the other case was all Chinese food, pre-cooked Chinese food, a Panda Express or something. And you could, you get I'll have a 3-item combo with half chow mein, half rice.
Give me some chicken teriyaki, some hard chicken, and some pizza pockets.
Totally. And fucking dudes would come in. And the story behind it.
And fill it up on 18.
No, seriously. Yeah, it was like dudes would come in and buy their packs of cigarettes for the day and then just get, you know, some egg rolls and shit. But the story behind it was the owner, I won't name any names for this one.
That's fine.
But the owner had hired this guy to start the Chinese food stuff there and was, you know, promised him a bunch of, you know.
Was it a Chinese guy?
That's yes. Okay. So he was like, you'll run it within my thing, but I will pay you profits. You know, I'll give you a cut of the profits rather than just paying you. And it'll be like your business instead of my business. And this is all what I heard, you know.
Sure.
Maybe this isn't true. And then he kind of screwed the guy over.
Who did?
The owner screwed the Chinese cook over and wasn't doing that. So then the Chinese cook said, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to go across the street and open up my own Chinese restaurant. And he did.
Did he?
And then...
No gas, though.
Became Panda Express.
You can't get gas there. And then the guy that trained underneath the original chef was a Mexican guy.
Chef now. We got a chef, Mexican Chinese food at a deli.
So he was a Mexican guy. And, you know, his name was Miguel. I'll name that name because, you know, I could...
Because sure, you're racist.
Could be making that one up. And he just ran the same business, you know. It didn't have to pay him any type of, you know, cuts of the profit or anything. And that's when I worked there. It was like, you know, the Chinese chef Miguel.
The second regime.
Was there. And my job, you know, I worked with... I was a big... black lady that would like rub my shoulders all the time.
That's what you say every time somebody works in a kitchen restaurant, or around, yeah, food.
They just
massaging.
How people
Jay
get.
Swears it.
And one of my duties was I had a digital timer that I would set for every 5 or 10 minutes. I can't remember. And when it would go off, I would have to stir all of the Chinese food so it didn't form a skin.
Mm-hmm.
And the handles of the spoons were plastic and they would get super hot. And we had to wear new rubber gloves for every transaction. And it would just like, the heat would like hold in the rubber gloves and just like burn your hands. It was a cool job.
Hold on. How great was the place across the street?
That's what I wanted to know. How good was this?
I don't
his
think
business?
I ever went there. I never got off work and was like, I need some Chinese food.
That's a huge fuck you though, man. Right across
but
the street.
But he didn't drive the gas station out of business.
No. He was just like, I want to have a Chinese food business. And I thought this was my way of doing it. But you know what? I'll just go do it over here. And then, I mean, the world of this gas station was even, it was crazier because the owner was, he was my friend's dad and very eccentric and weird. And he,
you think in what way? Chinese food at a gas station, right?
And he had turned
come on, man.
He turned the walk-in cooler. So there was like a walk-in cooler where you could go in and
where
and,
things are always frozen.
Right.
Always frozen.
Where you're always making for
the,
sandwiches.
It was for the customers where they have cases of beer.
Yeah.
So it, you know, they had like the walls of glass doors, but
yeah.
They also
see,
had like a walk-in.
I love that.
I know
back,
that, yeah.
I love when I go back to Baltimore and I go in a liquor store and I go back to the back of the store and there's no way out of that room. It's just a freezer and you open it up and you go in and people are always like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "I'm going to get a cold case of beer right now."
Yeah.
I love that you can go in those. I love, yeah. They're a little tight.
Yeah.
I love that shit.
So, but they had done for this was they took paper mache and they built it to look like a cave.
So
the entrance to the walk-in cooler was this big cave entrance and on the inside there was stalagmites and stalactites and he even put, for some reason, he put, this is when Castaway was popular.
Mm-hmm.
He put one of those volleyballs in there.
Wilson was in there.
Why does that even make
just
any
to go
sense?
In and get it.
And then he called it the beer cave, and it said bear, and the bear was crossed out, and he bought a taxidermied bear.
Come on.
And he put it by the entrance.
Dude, this guy is a forward thinker.
$45,000 entrance.
He put it by the entrance, and he put a Hawaiian shirt, sunglasses, and a fishing pole and a case of beer under
hilarious.
Its arm.
Hilarious.
And it was the beer cave. And one of my jobs was when it was a friend of mine's younger brother.
Changes outfits.
No.
Once a week. Randy, change that outfit, man.
Bring one of your outfits in. You're the only one that's the size of a bear. Yeah. It was one of my friend's younger brothers that did the bear. It was like his first taxidermy project.
I'm wondering how much the bear set him back. It can't be cheap to buy a taxidermy bear. I'm thinking 10 bills.
They had that kid from The Murder shoot the bear.
Oh, brother.
I ran so.
But my, I remember the, he didn't have the bear yet, and he wanted to put the bear standing on a big rock. So he was like, we need a big rock. Have you seen any big rocks? And I was like, no, I haven't. And he's like, I think I saw one. One of the other businesses that he ran out of the gas station was like he would rent Ryder trucks, like U-Haul trucks.
Mm-hmm. Off the same property?
Yeah, so he had counter inside the same business that would rent Ryder trucks. So he would just took one of the Ryder trucks. He's like, come with me, take off, your apron and your uniform shirt.
Bring the gloves, man.
I don't want people to know that you work here, because we're going to go steal a rock.
Right.
And we just like drove up this like country road until he saw a big
Meanwhile,
rock.
He's in like Larry's gas station pickup truck the whole way.
and pulled over and was like, go get that rock. I don't, he didn't know if it was legal. We were just stealing a big rock. So I didn't.
Couldn't you ask your dad if it was legal?
Yeah, your dad would have definitely known.
No, he's not a rock guy. He's a tree guy.
Yeah.
And so I had to carry this giant rock and throw it in the back of a Ryder truck. And then he drove it back to the station. And then my job for the rest of the day was to wash the rock. Like he gave me this wire.
What was on it? Like moss? Well,
so it was covered in
dirt. Who cares?
But he wanted to paint it gray, the color of a rock. And I was like, it's already.
Yeah.
It's a rock. But he didn't want the dirt on there because he needed to paint it. So I spent like 2 hours with like a wire brush on the end of a stick.
Come on.
Sitting in a parking lot with a hose, sitting on the ground, washing a giant rock. And dudes would drive by.
Yeah, like, where'd you get that rock, man?
Cool rock, dude. They would make fun of me.
How big was it?
It was like 3 feet by 3 feet. It was a big rock.
I mean, were you like struggling to lift that thing?
Yeah, it was
that
a big.
That is big.
Like Central Oregon is like
a small boulder.
Yeah, it wasn't as tall maybe as it was 3 feet by, less than 3 feet, but it was like a lava rock. So it was very flat. In Central Oregon, it's a volcanic area.
Got it.
So it was this big flat rock that I had to wash all day.
This guy misses calling. This guy should have worked for like Disney or something, like coming up with rides and stuff.
Well, this guy, I mean, I haven't even gotten to the best part. This guy, he would get very obsessed with things kind of month by month. And while I worked there, it was mannequins. He was really into buying mannequins and dressing them up like they worked there.
Behind the counter.
He'd put them around the corner and you'd get all freaked out.
Do you know that? My wife makes fun of me all the time because there's this car dealership off the 101. Have you seen it where they have the mannequins looking at cars?
So Toyota. Scary.
I think it's hilarious.
So weird. But that's what he would do. And before I started working there, he was really into, for some reason, fixing up Model Ts. But like, he wasn't a car guy. Like, he had some car that he would put the key in, he would break the key off, and then he would never have to have a key again because he can just walk in and turn it on. He wasn't a car guy, but yet he figured out like a cheap way to fix up these old Model Ts. So he had them all over the parking lot with mannequins in them. At one point, he put like a lady mannequin's leg like hanging out at the back until his son had to be like, I don't think that's a pro. I don't know, Dad.
His son had to tell.
And one thing.
Hanging out at the back of the truck, the Model T?
Yeah, like a guy had like bagged a chick or something.
Yeah.
And then another thing that he wanted to do that his son had to be like, what? Was he had this baby mannequin and he wanted to cover it in blood and put it in the trash can in the bathroom.
What?
Oh, like as a prank.
Oh my God.
But he was like, you're going to get in trouble.
Not only are you going to get in trouble, no one's ever coming back to this place.
And also this guy was like a guy who was like, a Christian. And like at one point.
Sounds like.
Like when I was like when I was a little bit younger, he like yelled at me one time. We were all playing on the trampoline. I didn't know any adults were outside, and I cussed. I said a bad word.
Do you remember what you said?
I said the F word, but it was as a joke or something.
Mm-hmm.
It was like one of those jokes where you're like, hey, watch your fucking mouth.
When, right.
Where you're like, yeah, you get it. And he happened to be out like on the deck and was like, rant. Like he was like, we don't swear in this household. Like he was all, but yeah, he wanted to put a bloody baby
right, yeah.
bloody. In the trash.
Dead babies are one thing.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
That
fucking animal.
So, and then after
let's go steal a rock.
After I left, the thing that this is the craziest one, the thing that he got into after I left.
How long did you work there?
I only worked there for one summer.
Okay.
So, not very long. And after I left, it turned from a Chinese food restaurant into
Now it's a restaurant. It was a deli. It was a hot station, and now it's a full blown restaurant.
There's a standing area
so
now.
When I left, it turned into a Cold Stone Creamery knockoff called Marble Slab.
Like, shut.
Any type of fad thing, he was like, "Let's do that." For a while, it was a barbecue place. Right now, it's you know what growlers are?
Big
jugs of beer.
And you can fill them there.
Yeah. So in Central Oregon and in Oregon and in a lot of places, you know, microbrew is the thing. And in Central Oregon, there's tons of breweries. So they just have a whole wall of taps, and they got some laws changed in Oregon, actually, where you can go in and just fill up growlers. And even though it's not technically a bar, you can also still order like one pint and sit there and have a pint. But yeah, it's just a growler fill up station. It's got like 60 beers on tap, and you just, you know.
That's got to be crushing it out with the. Yeah. So he's kept this business this running genius, all these years bro. From uh-huh. thing to Opened thing, up, never lost.
He has another store in a town that's like 20 miles away. And my friend from high school, I think, is running that station still.
The growler store?
Yeah, yeah.
You know why? Do you know why Oregon has so many micro everything and is so craft?
Well, I know one answer to that. What are you going to say?
Well, as far as booze goes, the liquor laws in Oregon is you buy the booze from the government. The government owns all the booze. Okay?
State?
The state. Yeah. So, like, if you want to buy Absolute Vodka, you're not buying it from...
Yeah.
Like, when you own a bar and you order your booze, you get it a cheaper rate than people in public get it. You know what I mean? Because you buy it bulk and you buy it from the distributors. But in Oregon, you're buying it all from the government or the state, so you're paying the same price you would pay if you bought a bottle off the shelf in a liquor store.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Oregon, you have to buy it at a liquor store. You can't buy it at a grocery store.
Right. It's all run through the state. So then people start making all their own stuff so they could cut out that middleman and make a better profit on their booze.
Mm-hmm.
And it blew up.
I hosted a bar show. We went to Borland, Oregon.
No, I watched it. I like that show. I'm really into alcohol.
Okay.
I like it. But I was going to say, I didn't know if you were going to say this. In Oregon, beer is very popular because it's the same. It's one of the best places to grow hops. So, like, Germany and Oregon have the same latitude and the same climate, basically. And those are the two places where hops grow the best. And so that's where all the beer is coming from.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, like, you know, people are having breweries everywhere, but they're still having to get their hops from the same location. So Portland and Bend, Oregon have tons of breweries. Like, my town is probably 25,000 people. There's like 7 breweries.
Wow.
Just in that town. And then in Bend, there's like 30 breweries. And there's like 80,000 people.
Is Fat Tire from up there?
No, I think that's Colorado, maybe.
Is it? Yeah, I think it is, too. I just remember when I was in Bend, we would ride bikes from my buddy's place into town, and everybody was on bikes, so I don't know why that Fat Tire thing just, like, popped.
Yeah. No, bikes are pretty popular in Oregon. Deschutes Brewery, that's probably the most popular out of Bend.
Oh, yeah, Deschutes.
Yeah. But, so here, I'll get to it now, finally. The craziest thing this guy...
Oh, we're not even there.
No, that's how the business changed a little bit, but one of the things that he got super into after I left was lawn chair ballooning. So he would attach big balloons to lawn chairs and float away.
He would float away?
Yeah. I've seen videos of people, like, you put whatever, like 8 or 10, whatever it takes, on your chair, and it'll float you up, and you just go.
So helium balloons, like the big balloons that they put on, like, car lots.
Uh-huh.
And he bought, like, one of those nice reclinable chairs, and he did a lot of work and figured out the best way to do this.
I thought he was in just a lawn chair.
No, I mean, it's a lawn chair, but it's like one of those, like, zero gravity lawn chairs, okay. I'm assuming. And he tried it out 2 or 3 times until he finally was super, like, his goal was to float from Central Oregon out of the parking lot of the gas
How
station.
How high?
Like,
up?
Like, right now he is dealing with legal trouble because he was in airspace he wasn't supposed to be in. Like, he was as
How
high
is he controlling where he's going?
He's not. So
does he have a seatbelt on or anything?
Yeah, and he would wear a parachute.
He would wear a parachute.
What good is a seatbelt?
I don't know why. I just
he would wear a parachute. And his goal was to float. You know, he would float from the parking lot of the gas station for promotion. And then his goal was to go over the Blue Mountains into Idaho, which is a very long way. To drive it takes hours and hours and hours. So just based on the wind, he thought, this is where I will go. He tried it twice, bailed, you know, the chair got really low. He jumped out of the chair took off without him, and he would have his wife follow him in a minivan as close as she could get on roads.
This poor lady had
a walkie-talkie, and you know, they would stay in touch and stuff. And he finally did it. He finally took off. Landed in Idaho.
He really did.
Yeah, yeah. And
how far is that?
Well,
are we talking like 100 miles?
More than that. had to have been.
Wow.
I mean, I would have to.
But
look.
he just went with the wind and let it go where it took him, and he made it to Idaho.
Yeah, yeah. So in between, like over, you know, like where Evel Knievel failed to jump the
Snake River.
Yeah, so like that's in between where we lived and where he ended up, because that's the border of Oregon.
He brags about all. Evel Knievel couldn't do it.
I did it in long term, man.
I started 200 miles before him. And
holy shit.
And then for a couple of weeks was on every. He was on Good Morning America. He was on when Jay Leno still had the Tonight Show.
What's his name?
His name.
Are we allowed to say his name? I mean, if he was on Good Morning America, people can Google it.
Yeah, just look him up. Look up Lawn Chair Ballooning, okay. Oregon.
I mean, is this a big thing that a lot of people are doing?
No, but I had, you know, before he did this, it was, you know, it was somewhat of a wives' tale that you hear about, or you know what I mean. It was an urban legend, I guess. That's the
how was he keeping
way.
The balloons attached to the chair? Ropes?
Yeah, I guess
fish
so.
And string.
And he had his method was he had a certain amount of balloons that were low enough to him that he could open and let a certain amount out to lower instead of just popping one at a time. Like, you know, there's a story of a guy with a BB gun. And mm-hmm. so he would just like let the air out slowly. And then he also had tanks of water underneath his chair that he could let water out to raise. So he had this whole system that he built himself.
Let me tell you something about this.
Dying of thirst, man. But I can't lose my tanks.
Let me tell you something. The Wright brothers, people probably thought they were crazy.
This guy's the wrong brothers, this motherfucker.
Where was he getting the tank? Was he selling helium tanks, like helium balloons and stuff, or what was
it? No, I mean, maybe at that point he was, but I remember, because they, you know, the news stations would come, I saw the video of it, and he had all these giant helium tanks getting loaded up, and then when he was on The Tonight Show, they actually set up his rig in the parking lot, and they took Jay Leno up in it, you know, it was all like roped down, so you could only go up so high. And I know that they like their goal was this guy is going to be one of those guests that is so weird that he's funny. You know what I mean? Like a guy who kills on accident. But this guy like was trying to kill. So it was one of those guests where he tried to make a joke about how his dick was big and it fell flat.
What?
Like he was just like, how do you go to the bathroom? And he made some joke about how, you know, you just, if you're well endowed, you just, and the guy, everyone was just kind of like, ugh.
Kevin Eubanks was like, come on, bro.
Yep. Just right off of that.
Yeah, but more recently, he really, you know.
So he's, how long has he been doing this?
Well, this was just years, I don't think he's tried it since this was.
Since the fall?
Well, since he accomplished it.
Okay.
You know, once he accomplishes something, he moves on to whatever else he wants to try to accomplish. But he is currently, last time I checked, still having to deal with legal issues because he was in this airspace that he was not allowed to be in. So he's like getting in trouble.
like what is the fucking later. Penalty for that? Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, like, so once they saw The Tonight Show and this and heard the story, they're like, well, wait a minute, you violated a law. Why? Don't you have to be caught doing it? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, there's murder. Tons of pictures. I'll pull up a picture on my phone right now that make you kind of be like, oh, holy shit. That's legit, like, so high legit up in the rig. Air.
That's what I'm saying, and he's just in a chair and balloons.
Yeah. Did he do promotion for, like, the gas station
yes.
stuff?
Like, so he had a banner underneath the chair that was all for the gas station.
Like, just dropping, like, dim sum
he's
of
like,
people?
Can you read it?
Doing the balloon in the water, the balloon. Can you see it yet? Dim.
So this is, I mean, this
try
is.
Try the Chinese!
Holy shit.
He had to learn how to parachute, too.
This
you know what I mean?
Dude is crazy. Dude, this is like. I'm going to guess there's like 70 balloons
there's
there.
So many fucking things.
Right.
Here, I want to see this.
That looks like it's a Photoshop.
I know.
Joke.
It seems
it looks like a poster for like reaching
look
your goals.
Look at the mountains in the back. Like. That doesn't even look real.
I know. Those are the mountains I grew up
who
near.
Took this picture?
Probably a fucking airplane or something.
This guy Jesus fucking is, Christ. I'm telling this guy's a pioneer right here.
I want to know, like, here's the other thing. You got to go up high enough that if you do fuck up, your parachute has time to open. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just go up a few hundred feet and you pull that thing. It's you're just crashing to the ground with
it's it. So crazy.
I mean, I would pay. First of all, I would love to have The Tonight Show to be the host of The Tonight Show. But it would have been amazing to be. I would love to have interviewed him. Like, so, I mean, what else have you done? He's like, I sold Chinese food out of a gas station, man. I got over these mountains. Like, this guy, he's done it all. I started Mabel. Marble Top? What
Marble
was it?
Marble Slab. It may have been a franchise Marble even. I just remember specifically like when Leno got up in the chair, like all he could say was, this is stupid. I don't like this. Get me down. This is the stupidest thing I've ever done. Like totally shit on it.
Well, because he's probably nervous as hell.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was like my boss. That was my first boss.
Dude, I mean, what an amazing guy.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Pretty interesting guy, yeah.
You should see the entrance to my beer cave.
Yeah, I bet it's still there. I had someone was driving through Bend, someone that lives in L.A., stopped just to check out the place, and I'm pretty sure the beer cave's still there.
So, this was in Bend?
Yeah.
Then I got to ask my buddy Phil. You can tell me later on what the name of the place
was.
Yeah, because I love this guy's style.
Yeah, that interesting guy. He opened up a couple more stores. I think his son is the one that's running that current location now.
But it's not a gas station as well.
It is. No, the new store isn't. It's just a market. But this place is a gas station.
Right, okay.
In Bend.
Hilarious. You got when fans start hitting you up about that picture, you got to tweet that fucking thing out.
Well, and in Oregon, you can't pump your own gas. So, like, the other thing is he had all these gas station attendants. He made them dress up kind of like they were from the 50s. They'd have to wear a weird kind of like cap, and they would wear a rag, and
yeah,
and we had to wash. Well, I never did because I was in the
Delta. Fucking mannequin ain't doing shit, man. Can I get somebody to pump this gas?
And my friend, it was my friend's dad who owned it, so they would hire a lot of us. And my other friend that worked there, his secret was he would go into the walk-in cooler and like drink beer, and then when he was done with the beer, he would just drop the bottle and break it. And just act like oh yeah, when they were moving these beers and they must have broke one. So like every day he would just drink in the cooler and just drop beer.
Every day broken beer.
Yeah. It's always the same fucking beer too, man.
It's always like two.
It's always the one I like.
You know, one of my first business ideas when I was a kid growing up is I wanted to make a gas station called First Class Gas and do exactly what this guy was doing. Have him dressed up, running out there, ding, ding, ding. Someone's hitting the gas. Someone's hitting the tires. First Class Gas, man.
I like it.
So, yeah, full service.
I'm telling you, this guy's ahead of his time.
I had a good idea, too, but I didn't have a name for it, and I was ahead of my time. I just couldn't get the funding, but I was...
couldn't get that cash.
I couldn't get the bankroll going. I was going... this is a senior in high school, or junior senior. The plan was to go to seniors who couldn't get to the grocery store and just do their grocery shopping and shit for them.
Dude,
way
any
back then.
Senior in high school can get way to the grocery store, bro. What is it?
Not that one in jail. Not that one in jail.
That's true.
You also said you had a pretty interesting first job when you got here to L.A. that I wanted to hear about.
Yeah. So I ended up, when I was in college, I started cooking in restaurants. And for a while, that's what I thought I wanted to do. I wanted to open a restaurant or whatever. And I studied... I minored in hospitality business management in college because I was.
What was your major?
My major ended up being like a social, like a psychology type degree.
Cool.
I didn't want to major in psychology because I was like, I don't want to be a psychologist. So I did. I took every psychology class and didn't write a thesis, and they gave me some like social science. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was
yeah.
just like, I don't need it. I just need to get the fuck out of here. My first job in LA, I was like, it'll be easy. I'll just get like a job at a restaurant. And I applied at so many places and no one would fucking hire me. They all wanted kids who were just out of culinary school.
Not guys that had minors in college?
Or guys who had like lots of cooking experience, actually working in restaurants, whereas you're culinary like, grads
make
don't.
Make Chinese, man.
They don't. That was my first job. I didn't cook in that job. But, I cooked in a lot of restaurants in college and before I moved to LA, I moved back to my hometown and cooked there for a while. And looking back, I probably wasn't as good as I thought I was. I'm a better cook now, but no one would fucking hire me. I finally got a job, and it was opening. It hadn't opened yet. It was a place that new owners bought, and they hired me a week before they opened. And I was doing a lot of like catering gigs. I feel like this guy just hired me. And thought he was going to get rid of me pretty quickly. He just needed an extra hand for a little while. And then he realized that I was like better than all of the fucking culinary school kids and kept me. And so I worked there for a week. We opened. It was a restaurant, bar, and opening day. It was in West Hollywood. And it was Pride Festival that week. Mm-hmm. And they have a big giant parade. And this place was right on the parade route. And
on
I was
Santa
like,
Monica?
Yeah. So they were like, yeah, it's going to be pretty nuts that day. So get, look at the map, figure out how to get here. And so like opening night, I kind of peek out and I was like, yeah, it's going to be a big crazy gay party probably. And I peek out and I worked at a gay bar. I didn't know it, but I looked out. I thought it was just a bar. I didn't know anything. Like when I interviewed.
No one's in there.
Well, when I interviewed for the job, the guy was like, you know about West Hollywood, right? And I was like, yeah, I got here, right? I mean, yeah, traffic. And on opening night, I was like, oh, all the bartenders are wearing matching tank tops.
You know this place is called the Dick Hole. Right? You're a chef at the Dick Hole.
And man. They were all like dancing in unison. I was like, oh, I work at a fucking crazy gay bar.
Yeah, you're cooking at a gay bar.
This kid from a small town who had no clue he was working at a gay bar.
That's a long way from the Chinese deli.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you that.
And so I worked there for 2 years. And
with the menu items. Loved you then. Like a comic, you know, like a comic club, everything's like, get the light, final act. Was everything a gay and you
no, no, no. Okay. It was like, this place was like, you know, trendy bar food, sliders and tacos and, you know, whatever. The guy I worked under was he's a fucking idiot. Like, so like the structure of it was like three owners and they were pretty cool. You know, they had different varying degrees of being all right to me. And then the guy who was like the chef who was directly my boss was just like such a bullshitter and was hired as a consultant to like get them ready for about a month. But they're like, we can't afford you. Just we want you to hand over to someone else. So he was like, nah, I want this job. So he had hired a guy like a drug addict to hand over knowing that this guy wouldn't be able to do the job. He was like, yeah, when I leave, this is the guy that's running it. And then when they had to get rid of him, they're like, I guess you'll have to run it. And he's like, sweet. And so like my first like month the job, I was dealing with both of those guys. My direct boss, he had a ponytail. Like the sides of his head were shaved. And he had a ponytail down his back that had rubber bands that went all the way down it. And he had a big giant soul patch. And he drove like a motorcycle. And he was like,
you wear flame shirts?
No, but no. I mean like that type of guy and working at a gay bar, he really wanted to let you know that he wasn't gay. And he would even say things like, I am the straightest guy in the world. And you're like, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And he would hit on all of the lesbians that would come in there. He would give them free food where I couldn't even get free food. And he would be like, hey, cook this. And he would like go flirt with people. And they'd be like, this is like our space. Get the fuck out of here.
Straight guy.
Yeah. And yeah. So this guy just had, I ended up starting a Twitter account for his ponytail when I worked there. And I would just tweet things that he would actually say.
Tight.
And I didn't get a lot of followers, but I would say shit that he would say. Like he'd be like, oh yeah, you'll never believe this. I went out last night. This girl, hot girl, dude. She came up to me and she's like, I'll give you $300 if you cut your ponytail off. What? Are you kidding me? Like, it's like, yeah, she's making fun of you. And she's like, nah, dude. Why? And I told her, I was like, I'm not cutting this thing off. Clearly, I like it.
And it's like, oh, that's like, look at the rubber band.
Pretty cool story, man. Or he's like, oh, I made out with a billboard model last. Like, he has all these fucking weird stories.
Billboard model.
Billboard.
That is some bullshit probably here in LA.
Big eyes.
It's billboard model.
And I've seen it right over Fountain and Fifth, man.
And I was like, you know, I was doing stand-up. You know, I moved to LA to do stand-up. And so I was the one person that couldn't get a fucking laugh in that place. Like, everyone else was like, cool with each other, and they would be laughing, saying the stupidest shit, and then I would chime in with one joke, and everyone would go like silent. And I was like, "I'm the fucking weirdo outcast of this group. What the fuck? How is that possible?" And then they would listen to shitty music, and then I'd be like, "Oh, can I listen to some music I like?" And everyone would be like, oh, "What is this shit?" And I was like, "Only the coolest music that everyone I know likes."
Yeah,
like I was the weirdo there, and it was a shitty job. It was,
but 2 years there.
2 years, and you know, I was like paying my car insurance on a credit card. I was working like 4 days a week, 6 hour shifts, like real, you know.
Had you done stand up before you moved here?
Yeah. I did. I moved here. I'd only been doing stand up for like 6 months before I moved here, but I had like a few things that led me to believe that I was better than I was.
what do you mean?
Well, like, do you remember Comedy Central did a thing called Open Mic Fight?
Yeah.
And they've done things similar since.
Like Laugh Riots? Or...
Yeah, Laugh Riots was before that. They did a thing a couple years ago that they actually had me in called Up Next, you know, it's like a web contest and they have live shows. Mm-hmm. And this year, open mic fight, I've been doing stand up for like a month, you know. And they were like, submit your videos, and that's how they were choosing. They had 8 cities across the country that they were considering people for. And I sent a tape in. I've been doing it was my 7th time on stage or something like that. Sent it in and they chose me. And so I went to San Francisco and performed at the Punchline. And
dude, killer.
That's big.
And people were like, oh, how long have you been doing stand up? And I was like, oh, you know, like 3 months at this point. And they were like, get the fuck out of here. Like, people were mad at me.
Yeah, of course.
But to me, like 3 months is a long time.
Right.
Like, when someone had been doing stand-up for 2 years, I was like, holy shit, that's crazy. And some people that were on that show that I remember, Mo Mandel was on the show. Mm-hmm. He won. Alex Cole, who's a San Francisco guy. I think he lives in New York now.
Janine Garofalo.
No. And then, you know, a couple people that I don't think really do stand-up anymore. But I remember, so I was there and I kind of had like I froze on stage at one point and forgot everything that ever existed.
Oh.
And since, you know, ever since then, I've been a little bit fucked up from that one experience.
Yeah.
And, but I did good, I think. But I was totally a different, I wore a backpack on stage.
That's that old Cub Scout in you, man.
Shut up.
You can't shake that old Cub Scout out of you, man.
I had a bit. And
there's a kid right now. I don't know.
No, I know who you're talking about.
And he wears a backpack. I'm like, we get it, dude. You're 18.
But here's why I wore a backpack. I wanted to be.
Because you had your puppet in there.
I wanted to be weird. And I had this bit, and I stand by it. I would never do it because I don't want to, like, get labeled as this type of comic or whatever. I don't know. I'm sure there's people that do this that are great. But my last joke, I would be like, you know, I was having a conversation with a comedian friend of mine, which was a lie. I didn't know any comedians at that point. And he's like, you know, we were talking about how what you wear on stage is important and how, you know, people will laugh at your jokes if you're dressed a certain way. And I was like, no, just dress however you want. Shouldn't matter. Just write good jokes. And so he challenged me. He said, tell a joke. Maybe it's not your best joke, but tell a joke. Change what you're wearing and then tell the exact same joke and see what happens. And so I tell this joke. And I'm trying to think what it was. It was a joke about zucchini bread. So it was I don't really like zucchini, but I love zucchini bread. So it makes me wonder, are there other things that I don't like that might be good in bread, like cat bread? Because I don't like cats. So that was the joke I would
right,
tell.
Okay.
And then I would take my backpack off. And I would open it up like I was going to like take something out of it and put it on. But then I would take my shirt off and then put the shirt in the backpack and then perform without a shirt on. And I'm like super hairy. And I would just tell that same joke. I don't really like zucchini. And then like every line of that joke would destroy.
Right, yeah.
And so that was like my bit. That was my bit.
Would you switch anything or was just to the T?
And I would do it even slower. I would just do that whole joke and I'd be like, so that makes me wonder. And every fucking line would just kill.
Oh, man.
And you know, Anne and Joanne at Comedy Central?
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones that were running it. And so like they talked to me afterwards and I was all like, you know, I didn't win. I think at first or second, those were the only two that moved on. And they were like, oh, you were great. You were our third pick. And I was just like, yeah, whatever. Like, I was just like so fucking
right. Did you get your shirt back
on? Yeah, my shirt was back on. My parents drove, you know, they came all the way from Oregon to San Francisco to watch it. They were so proud of me. And to this day, you know, like I have a good relationship with those two and I've kept in touch. And last time, I don't know if they remember. I mean, I knew, you know, but I was just like, did you know that I'd only been doing stand-up like for a month when you chose me? And they're like, no. And I was like, yeah, you guys fucked up. Fucked up. And then I started worrying. Maybe they liked me then more. Because it took a while, you know. It took 6 more years since I started getting things on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, ah, they fucking liked me then, not now.
Totally.
But it worked out.
I mean, if they'd known it was only a month then, you would have been the prodigy. They would have been like, let's sign this kid to a deal.
I had people that were so mad at me. They were like, oh, really? Great.
Right. Not
three,
talking to this
3 months. So. Okay. Well, I've been doing stand-up for 12 years.
Not only have you been doing stand-up for 1 month, but your dad brings in a pine tree? Come on.
Yeah. I'd only been on one stage
but
before
seriously,
that.
Thanks for the Chinese food.
I'd only done this open mic stage in Spokane, Washington. The Punchline was like the second place I'd ever performed.
God, the second place ever. Is
yeah.
The punch
and it was like full, you know, and there was like a big sign on stage that said Comedy Central. And I had to like sign a bunch of shit and get it notarized. This was like before they would like just email you that shit. They would send you a big packet. And it was just like such a fucking big deal to me.
Yeah, for sure.
So I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to be a comic. So I moved to L.A.
And go cook in a gay bar, man.
Go cook in a gay bar for 2 years. Quit that job on bad terms.
Oh, yeah, why? I didn't expect to hear that.
Well, they wouldn't give me a raise.
Dickhole wouldn't give you a raise?
I needed a raise. I was doing a lot for them. Actually, for a while, I was running the whole kitchen behind my direct boss's back because they were losing money in the kitchen. And the owners came to me and they were like, what's going on here? And I was like, this is what's going on. Like, I, you know, he's a lot of food waste. You know, I knew exactly why they were losing money.
He's buying lesbians fucking cheeseburgers every other goddamn night.
So they had me calling the shots and via email, and then they would tell my boss what to do. And then my boss would come to me and like, this is how we do things now. All like a dick to me. And it's like, yeah, I know. That's my word.
I wrote that, you fuck.
But yet they wouldn't give me a raise.
Ponytail swinging and shit.
And the only raise they had given me was a 25-cent raise in 2 years.
What?
And I was like, well, now is the time to give me a raise. And they didn't. So I was like, just so you know, I'm looking for a different job. And the second I get that job, I'm out of here. And
even that's so polite.
Yeah.
Tell you this right now. I want to give you notice so you can get someone else. But I'm fucking out of here, man.
Guys should be looking for somebody.
And so I went to an interview and got this job at a gelato store.
You were just like, I'm out of here.
Well, I started messing with coffee a lot. Like, I got really into coffee and started roasting my own coffee at home.
Oh, really?
And so I knew everything, not everything, but I knew a lot about coffee. I just had never worked on an espresso machine. So a lot of places wouldn't hire me as a barista because I had no experience. But yet I roasted my own coffee and I knew more about coffee than a lot of the baristas did, except for how to physically use one of those machines.
Yeah.
So I got a job at this place and the lady was like, my son is – they have barista competitions. And her son got second in the nation the year before. And she's like, he's going to be here for the next 2 months training everybody. So it was like, this is great.
Yeah.
And they were going to pay me way more than the other place. And I was like, all right, so I'm hired. She's like, yeah, absolutely. So I just like emailed my bosses. It was like 10 in the morning. I was supposed to be there at 11 at the gay bar. And I just emailed them and was like, yep, got a new job and have to start immediately, which was a lie. But it was just like not coming in.
Yeah.
And they were like, they were fucking mad.
Good.
Because it's like in an hour.
Right.
And so I had, you know, each owner kind of email me, tell me I was a dick. Mostly only one. Two of them were kind of cool. One of them was like, fuck you, you're a dick. And then my direct boss text messaged me, and so
ponytail,
yeah, ponytail. He texted me and said, "Thanks for sticking us with the shift." Asked, but he put AST instead of ass. So I wrote, "What's asked?" Like proving that I was an ass, and just didn't get back to me after that. I did bump into him. This is a guy that I thought would maybe want to throw a punch at me or something, but bumped into him years later, just a couple years ago, and he was like, Randy! He was driving up in his truck.
Ponytail?
Yeah, yeah.
Still had.
And me and Brendan Walsh and Johnny Pemberton, we had just got back from a taping of The Price is Right, and we were all wearing matching shirts with our names on them and shit. And walking, I just saw him coming, and Brendan knew exactly who he was just from my description of him. And I was like, oh, hey, man. But just like kept walking. I was like, I'm not talking to this guy.
Yeah, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
And was the gelato store the bomb? You worked there for a while?
Yeah, I don't know.
You learn coffee?
I learned the coffee, used that to get an even better job at a coffee kind of general store. It was like a hipster general store. And then I was like the coffee guy there.
Was that in downtown?
Silver Lake.
We have a mutual friend that one time told me like, oh, I got a friend. He's like one of the best baristas in the city. Mm-hmm. Were they talking about you?
Maybe. I mean, I haven't been doing that for a couple years.
Okay. Then, yeah, I mean, we'll ask. We'll talk about it later.
Yeah. I quit that job 2 years ago.
Yeah, maybe.
And then finally making money doing
you
other
know
things.
It.
Yeah. Dude, good for you, man.
Yeah.
We're at that time too, man. Thank you so much for coming on. This was a lot of fun. Will you please one more time tell everybody where they can find you on social media, your podcast, your special?
Follow me on Twitter at Randy Liedtke. It's L-I-E-D-T-K-E. That's how you spell it. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to get famous enough that you can just type Randy L into Google and my name will.
Boom.
I think it does that on my computer, but it might just be the cookies that are saved. Listen to my podcast, The Bone Zone. It's on All Things Comedy. You can go to there. You can go to bonezonepodcast.com. And my album and half hour is coming out October 10th, Comedy Central. And the album will be everywhere you can get albums.
Love it, man.
That's awesome, man. Awesome. Congratulations.
Congrats, man. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on all social media.
Ryan Sickler on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.